You are.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to Geico, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Happy weekend, everybody. Welcome into a fresh new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. It's Friday afternoon. The Rockets are, of course, off today. They've played the last 2 days. Big win, 126-109 over the Portland Trail Blazers Thursday night at home. That comes less than 24 hours after a very frustrating defeat, 105-103 on Wednesday night in Oklahoma City. So a lot of up and down action for the Rockets, but by and large, they're 7-5. With 8 of the 12 games having been played away from Toyota Center. So, by and large, I think they are at or above expectations, seem to be playing very well, and you have another game against Utah on Saturday afternoon, the third in a 3-game stretch against teams that the Rockets are going to be competing against for playoff seeding in the Western Conference, in all likelihood. So, if you want to hear about the basketball, we've got a lot to look forward to, and I've had podcasts the last 2 nights. One Wednesday night with Brandon breaking down what happened in the loss to Oklahoma City. The other Thursday night breaking down the big win against Portland. So if you want to hear about the X's and O's, breakdowns of how the Rockets roster has fared, please listen to our podcast the last 2 nights. What I'm going to do with this show is a little bit different. It's an off day for the Rockets, so we can think a little bit bigger picture. And if you guys remember, if you've been with us on Locked On Rockets for this ride over the past, 4 months, one of the very first shows we did, I had an anonymous NBA scout come on the show, he was on Locked On NBA, that's the national show hosted by David Locke, and he explained his view of James Harden. And basically his view of James Harden, specifically after the Rockets announced that he would effectively be the point guard, was that, he was not. He called him out for being selfish, thought he was more concerned, talking about James Harden here, with winning the scoring title than being a true point guard. Now, we've all seen what's happened over the past 3 weeks. In the first 12 games, Harden's now had 3 triple-doubles just in the last 8 days. He's leading the league in assists with over 12 per game. So many positives to take out of it. The Harden to point guard experiment is working really well. He really looks like Mike D'Antoni's new age Steve Nash. But we're just a few months removed from when a lot of people around the NBA, including this national scout, were openly very skeptical of how this would work. So always wanted to hear what he thought, and earlier this week, on Wednesday, the same scout appeared on David Locke's show again, Locked On NBA, and by the way, Locke will be in Houston tomorrow. He's the Jazz radio broadcaster. That's his day job, but the scout returned, and to his credit, he acknowledged his mistakes, and now, after just 12 games, he has a very different view of James Harden. What I'm going to do right now is play his conversation with David, and then on the other side, I'll give you my main takeaways from that. Here's what he had to say.
James Harden. Have you seen the James Harden show yet this year?
I saw James Harden 2 nights ago when he had 23 points and 4 assists and 3 rebounds after 1 quarter, and I thought I might get to see something historical. But D'Antoni was being nice to Brett Brown and didn't play in the next 6 minutes of the second quarter, so he got out of a rhythm after that, and they were playing for their next game, so he had ended up, I think, with 33, but I've seen him 3 of the last 4 games he's played, and he's been pretty darn good.
All right, the numbers are 30 points, 13 assists a game. This is tiny Archibald stuff. We haven't seen this in our league in a long time. What is he doing? Is it stoppable? Is it sustainable? What is D'Antoni doing with him?
Well, the ball's in his hands. Unbelievable amount. there, you know, defensively, because they have a guy that stands underneath the rim in Capella and typically have three shooters on the floor. Defensively, you really can't, only at the end of quarters can you send a double team. He's good enough off the dribble that when he sees a double team, he's got a chance to split it. He's got a chance to stretch it out and then attack it. He's always keeps his head up. He hasn't been, I used to think he was, we'd say thirsty, where he's really trying to score. But the scoring part has been easy for him. It's been, you know, the way he's made plays for others has really been surprising, I think. But the spacing that they have is, you know, similar to what they would have run with Mikhail or the last couple of years in Houston, but they didn't have Ryan Anderson. You know, Mantas was a corner three guy, but he was hurt all the time. So they really didn't have that four man that gave a little bit more space for him to be able to drive. But he's getting to the free throw line, but he goes there and tries to go there when his shot's not working. Like, it's not, there were a lot of times where you thought he was trying to go to the free throw line to set up and, you know, try to attack to set up his shot. But now, because he's got the ball in his hands, he's looking for others. He's hard to guard. And then when he has the ability to make threes, he can dribble up into a three easily with deep range. Or he'll give you a head fake from there and put it on the floor and then find a guy in the corner. You know, I think his assists would be a lot higher if Corey Brewer and Ariza were shooting better, if they had one more guy that was in there. But Eric Gordon was on fire against the Spurs. He was 7 for 12 from three, and Harden was looking for him. Like, he's been thinking team more than James Harden, I think. I think in the past couple of years he was kind of competing with Dwight to show that it was his team, and, you know, competing against Russell Westbrook to win the scoring title or Durant to win the scoring title. But it just seems like right now he's thinking team. Whether it's sustainable, I think it's going to be hard for him to be sustainable, but with Beverly coming back tonight, that's gonna help him be able to be off the ball a little bit more. And we'll see how he responds, if he's still thinking team first at that point when he doesn't have the ball in his hands as much. But just being in the middle of the floor with the ball and a live dribble and the offensive threat that he has is extremely tough to guard.
I find him interesting. He has a, I'd say, tainted reputation after last season. And yet, I look at his numbers. He's increased his rebounding 5 years in a row. He's increased his assists every year of his career. He's increased his scoring every year but one of his career. I don't think people think of him as like a hard worker going and improving his game all the time. But he's getting better every year of his career right now.
Yeah, and talking to Rockets personnel, they say he is what we doubted he was, which is that he is a hard worker, that he is a guy who's constantly trying to improve his game. Whether it's bringing his teammates out with him when he does it, as he's done in the past, but a couple of years ago in summer league when we were practicing, he walked into the gym on the other end with just two or three of his friends and worked a hard hour and a half. I stayed and watched to see what he was doing, but he was doing game speed shots and worked incredibly hard. And I think in talking to the Rockets personnel, he is that guy, and he's the guy who comes a little bit early, stays a little bit late. And with all the external things that were happening last year, I do think he's reputation got sullied a little bit.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks. It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
First off, I want to give kudos to the scout for being willing to change his opinion. One big problem I think we have in discourse and sports and beyond, these days, now that everyone's opinions are so easily traceable, all you have to do is call up an old podcast, dig up old tweets or Facebook statuses, people have a way of digging in more than ever before. In the old days, because not everybody remembered and it wasn't so searchable, it was easier for people to admit they were wrong. Now that everything is so easily tracked, it's much harder for people to do that. So even when it's silly, you see a lot of folks doubling down on their initial opinion because they want to be right. So I'm not going to rip the guy because I thought he was wrong first and now, you know, it's being proven that he's wrong. No, you have to give people credit who are willing to change their opinion. Now, beyond that, I also don't want to chalk it up to this one particular scout, because the idea that one scout is out to lunch and everybody else really understands, that's incredibly naive. These scouts talk, and this is a very active scout. As he said, he's done three of the last four Rockets games. Well, heading into Wednesday, I don't know if he worked the Oklahoma City or Portland games, but other than a poor shooting night for Harden in Oklahoma City, he's still been the same guy, 12, 13 assists per night. What I really think is interesting here, and the main point that I want to get at, so much of the scout's initial belief was based on projection. It was projecting that, well, the Rockets are 41-41, the record is less than the sum of its parts, so something must be wrong, and since Harden's the most visible player on the team, it must be him. So he must be selfish, and it's a way to tie everything together in a nice package with a neat little bow on it. And sometimes that just doesn't work. And I think that's really hard for people around the NBA and really around professional sports, every league, because these days there's so much more data than ever before. Rockets with Daryl Morey, certainly one of the teams at the forefront of the analytics movement. And a lot of the time you can find data to give you a reason for everything. And for fans, people around the NBA, everybody wants problems to be controllable. And so sometimes they are. Sometimes it's a matter of, look, we don't have enough rebounding. Here's the data that shows it. We don't have enough three-point shooting. Here's the data that shows it. And, well, you know, this is why we lost X game or X series, because of so-and-so. But when you're talking about a team sport, there is always going to be an element that is difficult to quantify of chemistry, how guys fit together. Sometimes locker rooms become more than the sum of their parts, as they were for the Rockets 2 years ago when they went to the Western Conference Finals, even without a second true star after Harden and a bench that, after losing Beverly and Monte Ellis, was especially thin. And sometimes teams are going to be less than the sum of their parts as they were last year. And it's so easy to just blame the star player, just as it is in football, to say, well, this quarterback must not be enough of a leader. But the truth, in most cases, is that we simply don't know. In the case of James Harden, I'm going to be honest. I do think he's playing the best basketball of his career right now, but I don't think it's night and day different than the guy we saw last year. Now, to be fair, he did take a lot of the criticism to heart and came back in phenomenal shape, better than ever. He is concentrating on the defensive end. But by and large, I thought, especially the last 3 or 4 months of last year, he did that. There were some struggles when he reported to camp and to start the regular season because of the ankle injury he had in the offseason, and that took a toll on his conditioning. But really, by and large, Harden was a phenomenal player last year. 29-7-6, one of only four guys in NBA history to post that stat line, joining the likes of Michael Jordan and Oscar Robertson. He was a very good player. He worked hard. And really, if you put that James Harden on this year's team, I don't think the results would be all that different. And that's not a knock on him, and it's not a credit to him. It's just the dynamic is different. There's a new coach in Mike D'Antoni. There's more shooting around him. And it's not all about one player. But there's just this tendency. Everyone wants things to be controllable. And James Harden, just like the quarterback in football, it's such an easy thing to do. And that's what I think a lot of scouts did this past season was just the various problems with the Rockets, put them all in a neat little package called Harden's Leadership, and run with it. And that wasn't really fair to James, and through 12 games, I think James is doing a good job of showing the league just how wrong they were. Now, the thing that I would remind Rockets fans, I'm not trying to say this just to defend James or just to say, well, this scout was wrong, haha. It's to remind people of just how tricky it is to judge intangibles. It's one thing if you want to judge a guy, you know, when the Rockets look at future free agents or trade deadline targets and say, well, this guy either rebounds well enough, he shoots well enough, or he doesn't. That stuff is fair to evaluate. We have the data for that. But there's always going to be players, and I've thought about this recently with Boogie Cousins potentially being on the trade block. Now, I don't know if the Rockets have the assets to get Boogie, but that's a completely separate discussion. What's going to happen, you're going to have a lot of guys that point to the fact that the Kings have never won with Boogie and say, well, is he really committed to winning? Can you really win with him? Is he just a bad locker room guy? And the truth is, unless you're in that locker room, you can't really say. We're all just guessing. We're projecting. And there's been a lot of coaches in Sacramento. That's true in a lot of bad NBA situations. There's been a revolving door of players. And I'm not meaning this to be an endorsement of Boogie Cousins or any one other particular disgruntled star who may be on the trade block or something like that. All I'm saying is that in the future, when you hear people speculating about intangibles, all this kind of stuff, remember what we've dealt with the last few months with James Harden. Everyone outside of our bubble in Houston, those of us that see James Harden every day, follow him for 82 games a year, no one believed in this guy as a potential number one option on a championship contender. Now, just 12 games, less than a month of basketball, people are coming around. That's how quick these narratives change, but it also reminds you just how silly some of these narratives are, because they're not really based on that much. It's one thing if we're talking about James or any other guy, well, he doesn't shoot well enough, he doesn't do X tangible basketball thing well enough. But when you're talking about intangibles, when you're talking about leadership, you're talking about culture, we live in a data-driven world, but these are things that you can't always quantify with data. So we are projecting, and projecting things like that is inherently risky, and it seems to have been off base with Harden, and it may be off base with other guys as well. I'm not saying you don't listen to it. I'm not saying you just ignore when someone says that, but you have to take it with a grain of salt, because what James Harden is doing this year is proof that these people, even scouts around the NBA that are very active and follow him, they think they know him, and they don't. That's how it goes. It's a very hard to quantify thing, and a lot of people don't want to accept it. People want things to be controllable. They want to understand everything. But chemistry, culture, it's tough to put your finger on. It always will be. That's part of the beauty of team sports, because even in this data-driven world, we don't have all the answers. That's part of the fun. And just accept the fact, this is my advice to you as fans, that we're not always going to know everything, and just go along for the ride. And no, I don't think the Rockets are getting Boogie Cousins. That's just the first guy that popped to mind as, you know, someone you hear a lot, well, is he a good enough locker room guy? Does he care about winning X, Y, and Z? And truth is, just give it a chance. Wait and see. There are some things that unless you're in the locker room on a day-to-day basis, and maybe not even then, it's hard to really quantify just how much one player should bear the brunt of responsibility. Oh, and one last thing. I love the note at the end from the scout about, in Summer League, James coming in, you know, as an established star player and just working with his buddies to get better. That's the James Harden I've always seen. He works hard. He loves basketball. This is not a guy who just who plays just to earn money and then wants to be an entertainer on the side. No, he genuinely cares about his craft. He wants to be as fundamentally sound with his technique. He works. This is a guy the Rockets feel great about leading their franchise for hopefully the next decade. So, yeah, it's amazing to me to hear some of the stories that we heard the last few months, because the James Harden that we see on a daily basis, well, it's the James Harden the scout talked about right at the end that just quietly goes about his business and works. That's who he is, and I'm just happy for him that now he's finally starting to get the respect that he's deserved for, well, more than just these past 12 games. Anyway, we'll get back to actual Rockets games tomorrow. Rockets play the Jazz, another big game against a Western Conference playoff contender on Saturday afternoon at Toyota Center. Again, it's an early 4 p.m. start, so if you have tickets, don't think it's your usual Saturday night weekend home game. No, it's a matinee. get there early. Vernon Maxwell is going to be there before the game. If you want to get there even earlier and make sure you're in your seat for a tip-off, look forward to seeing all of you guys there at Toyota Center, and I'll be talking with you again on Locked On Rockets after the game. Again, I'm Ben DuBose. You can always follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. This is Locked On Rockets. You can follow us at Locked On Rockets on Twitter, and you can also email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions for me or if you'd like to inquire about potentially becoming a sponsor of this rapidly growing program. Thanks to all of you for listening, and I'll be chatting with you again Saturday as the Rockets take on the Jazz. Enjoy your weekend.